Hello and welcome to the Business Growth Show.
I'm Adam from Active Internet Marketing.
And I'm John from Octopus Computers.
And we're going to be hosting this podcast regularly, particularly appealing to businesses in the Stamford and Rutland area. We're going to have lots of exciting guests where we can start to hear about their career journeys and how they've got to the place that they are now. And hopefully there'll be lots of advice and beneficial information for people.
So if you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on, drop us a like and a follow and stay in touch.
So today we have a very special guest, Tony, of which we're both really excited to have a chat with you. And you're obviously a big part of the business community around Rutland and Stamford, very well known and very well liked. So what we're really hoping today is that we'll give opportunity for people to learn a bit more about you. From a business sense, also a personal sense as well. So I'd like you to first of all just introduce yourself if you can.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Tony Gardner from Haverty Solicitors. And as you say, we operate within this sort of local community. I've actually I know you couldn't tell from looking at me, but you know, I've been in business for over 35 years now. Worked in a whole variety of different roles and mainly sales, marketing sort of positions, different industries, lots of experience in terms of managing organizations, leading organizations. And then a couple of years ago, sort of stepped out of that and moved into the glitzy world of legal services, which was a completely new one for me, and something different. I like challenge. I like always looking at different opportunities. Whenever I've worked within a certain industry, I've never stayed in that industry. I think it's difficult to go into your top customers and say, today, you know, I'm working for company A, we're the best. And then tomorrow, oh, I've now gone, you know, and these are now the best. So I've tended to switch industry, which is, I think, has helped in my role now, which I have on business development, which allows me to talk to all different types of businesses at networking events and understand them and usually the pain that they're going through, because having worked with everything from small owner managed company to sort of multinational groups, it's given me sort of quite an insight into how sort of businesses operate and are managed and led. And you see a lot of that, as I say, that pain at networking situations. And I think that allows me to, you know, to be able to talk to people quite frankly about their own situations and just see how, you know, I can help. That might not be from any legal standpoint. That might just be from how we can, you know, I could introduce them to somebody else who could be the, you know, the answer, the solution they're looking for.
Definitely.
That seemed like a very long answer to your question.
No, that was great. That was great. And I think, you know, you are really well known in the community, particularly through networking. And I think you're very approachable as well. So I think people do feel comfortable to come and have those conversations with you and seek your advice and get some assistance from you.
But I think that comes from originally just being a salesperson. I know that's like the word you're not allowed to use anymore. You've got to be business development or solution provider.
Everything is sales.
Okay. And so I'm just used to asking lots of questions. You know, when I'm talking, and I know networking events, you ask someone, how's business? 99% will say, really good at the moment. Yeah, really.
You mean a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, everything's going really well, really busy, da da da. And you get to know them, and then you actually, because you've asked questions and you explore, again, the pain, I keep using that term, you explore the pain a little bit more, then they do trust you and they will ask you. And then you can say, okay, well, then let me introduce you to so-and-so. You know, and sometimes it can just be very basic. It can, you know, I was talking with someone who's only started their business 3 months ago the other day. And just, I think, you know, looking to put them with someone that's also recently started a business, it might just help them, you know, understand what they're going through, you know, so you can share the experience a little bit.
Yeah. But from a personal side, tell us about a little bit about your personal life as well.
Yeah, sure. I've been married or been with my wife for over 30 years. We're not conventional people, so we decided to have our first child. Then we went on honeymoon. Then we got married, and I've only just recently asked her to. We just recently got engaged. So you know, we don't like to do things in the normal order of stuff. But and we've, you know, we've got two wonderful children, both obviously grown up, left home pursuing their own things.
I thought you'll move in together sooner.
Yeah. Well, we might do. We might do. I think that's what's made it work for 30 years. But yeah, it's, you know, that's been a mainstay, been a, you know, a complete sort of rock really to everything. And again, you know, having children, you learn so much again about the world, you know, technology, for example. You know, that's why I bred two children, because of, you know, I wanted them to help me with my iPhone.
Yeah. Learn hostage negotiation techniques.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what you need. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've lived in Peterborough for more than 25 years. I'm London born and bred, slowly started working my way out of the big smog. My wife's parents were in Stanford, so sort of Peterborough became a place to go to when we had young children. And enjoy where we're living, but we're looking for somewhere a little bit more quiet and rural now.
Yeah,
started to get that to that time of life, you know.
Which one are you thinking?
Around the villages around sort of Stanford or somewhere in Rutland.
Yeah,
we'd love sort of exploring around there. I mean, as I say, for 23 years or so, I lived in Peterborough, but never worked in this area. Yeah. So, you know, I was either constantly traveling, whether that be sort of abroad or around the UK or offices, you know, sort of where I was driving for an hour and a half to, you know, to get to. But this was, you know, always our base. So it was lovely to start at Hegarty and work somewhere which was 10 minutes from home.
Yeah.
And actually get home, you know, by 5:30. You know, whereas usually it would be sort of 7 o'clock at night or something when I'm getting the door. So that's been fantastic.
There's so many great villages and places to choose from, so I'm sure you'll find somewhere very soon.
Absolutely beautiful. So we're sort of just doing drive-by viewings at the moment, just sort of trying to like work out where's nice and where we want to go.
So, and coming back to Hegarty for a moment, how do you feel? I know we've had this conversation before, but to share it with everyone else, how do you feel they separate themselves and are different from other solicitors and legal firms in the area?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you would say with solicitors in particular that there is always a certain level that has to be achieved, otherwise you're not going to remain, you know, in business. Hegarty's just celebrating its 50th anniversary. It's very much local focus.
Yeah.
So it works in the community. We do projects there, volunteering, charity work. And so it's always been about building the profile around where we are operating from. So, you know, we opened last year in Bourne. This year, our charity of the year is a Bourne-based organization for Wake House, which we're really pleased to support. And I think that that's a strength in that we're not trying to be an international legal firm. It's about, you know, the best outcomes to generate, you know, for our clients in the local area. We obviously serve clients actually all over the country. You look at the postcode analysis, you know, and we are, you know, Plymouth to Newcastle. So, it doesn't matter. But that's where our bulk comes from. The other key thing is that our business is a lot of retained clients, and our clients and referrers constantly introducing our services to their friends and their own clients. And I think, again, that's sort of a winning combination.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do on the sort of marketing business development side is just how do we now raise and grow those opportunities by outreaching, obviously, to those people that are not working with us at the moment. And that's why we've been developing the profile. And that really is what my job's about. It's that business development role of getting out and talking about what we do. And like what I said before, in that I've sort of changed jobs or industries because of, I feel like I've always worked with probably the best in that industry.
Yeah.
This is, why I enjoy working here so much, because of, I see the outcomes that we deliver for our clients, and I see the expertise that we've got within our organization, from the solicitors all the way through.
Yeah.
And so it means, we always, pride ourselves, and it's backed up by the reviews that we get on the service that we deliver. So hopefully that gives us sort of the strength and I say, maybe it doesn't necessarily differentiate because everyone's looking to do that, but I think we do deliver on it.
Yeah. No, I think that's very, very true. Certainly my perception. I think they, as a business, they are a big part of the local area. They've got multiple locations. You can go and visit somebody pretty close to you. They do have a good understanding of the area, whether you're looking for personal legal advice or you're looking for that as a business. I think that personal sort of benefit of them knowing the local area and knowing how people work and the culture locally as well is very, very important, really.
Yeah.
And I know next question, I think I kind of know the answer to, so I'm going to assume slightly, but I was going to ask you what's your favorite part of your role. But I think probably the answer is getting out and meeting people, like you said, and talking to people. And I know you network, and Hegarty run some networking events. So kind of perhaps steer it around to that, and you can tell us a little bit about those. Really.
Yeah. As I said earlier, without doubt, it's meeting people, meeting businesses, trying to understand where they are, what they want. And the way that we sort of make that happen, Rutland Business Network has been going for 2 years now, just over 2 years, in conjunction with the wonderful Rutland Hall Hotel and Spa up there, Oakham. If no one's been, please go there and see it. It's just an amazing venue, looking over Rutland Water. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's just such a great space to do networking meetings.
Yeah.
So, we can have, 40, 50 people in the room. The food is absolutely fantastic. It brings, I think some people come just for that sometimes. But as well as the networking, we always have fantastic guest speakers as well. We get complimented on the people that we have and what the message that they're delivering. We try and be very, very careful about that. We know that good guest speakers make a more of an event and will bring more people in. So we're always looking to make sure that we deliver on that. We recently just launched Success Networking in Peterborough. So that's a brand which has been going for quite a few years now, Andrew Martin set up, and they've got spaces in Newark and Lincoln and Grantham, Stamford, and just recently Sleaford just opened. And so we launched our first one in May. Our next one is on June 11th. Go to Success Networking website and you can sign up. And what I really like about that, it's a slightly different approach because we have 15, 16 businesses around the table. And so it's a slightly different from the Rutland Business Network. There's quite a lot of people in the room. There's a lot of open networking and people are very comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Some people like to be around a table and perhaps develop those business relationships quicker. And what I very much, as I say, like to do is understand the businesses that come because, if I could help someone, then, why wouldn't I? Means just connecting them with somebody else, then that's, exactly what I want to do. There may not be any commercial benefit for our company, but actually what it does, it just raises our profile.
Is that a long-term benefit for you? And if you start helping people, they'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I've seen that, and I get people that I've met at networking events and then they will just drop a little message on LinkedIn, is there someone that could help me with this particular scenario? And sometimes that is, yes, we can do that for you. And sometimes that's, I would recommend you, go and speak to, or let me introduce you to so-and-so because they can help you with that. And so I love sort of being that sort of, conduit to try and you know, bring people together. And I think therefore, there's a long-term benefit for the business as a consequence.
I know I've attended both of them. And I think, like you described, they're both quite very different events. So whether you want to be at an event with 50, 60 people and have that sort of volume there in quite a relaxed environment where you can sit down and eat with somebody and get to know them over that scenario, or whether you want it in a slightly more structured way, you're sat at a table as well. There is something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, networking can be difficult. Mm. People, I really realize that.
Yeah.
You know, and people have great ideas and they set their business up and they start, you know, the whole process. And then it's like, right, now I've got to talk to people.
Yeah.
And they may not necessarily be comfortable with that.
What would be your best tips if someone was new to business again, networking?
I think go and ask questions. Don't talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. What is, you know, your business? What do you do? How do you help people?
Mm.
Okay. And then if you've got difficulties in your business, ask somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a real problem at the moment with, how are you resolving this, you know, this problem?
Mm. Yeah.
And if you ask people questions, they will then inevitably start asking new questions.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they're finding out about your business. But I think the problem with networking is that some people just turn up once.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with Rutland Business Network, and this is a big discussion we've been having, is that, you know, some people just turn up once and don't come back again. And I don't know whether they didn't like the food, they didn't like they didn't like the speaker, you know, they didn't like the, you know, the open networking side of it. So we are looking at, you know, how can we make that a little bit different? I think we still want the sort of general open session, but maybe, you know, give a little bit more time to 9-10 people on a table and then talking things through, not just across when they're eating. So, you know, there's different ideas. We're always trying to improve, and a big one for continuous improvement.
Definitely.
And seeing how you can develop and progress.
Mm. I mean, all the feedback I've ever heard and my personal experience has all been really, really positive. So I guess it's just people prioritizing it and making time to do that is so important.
I suppose how they work, because there are, well, we know, you know, a good 2 or 3 dozen different networking events going on at any time.
Yeah.
And not everything is a good fit for everybody either.
Definitely not.
It sounds like they're between success and RBN, we struggle to find something which doesn't involve faculties.
Well, it's not just doing it for the sake of it, though. It's looking at how we can create, you know, those opportunities. But as I say, both for the companies around the table, there is no financial benefit from hosting those networking events because we don't take anything from it. It's just about how we can sort of connect people.
Support
businesses. Yeah. You know, because if you're supporting businesses and they're successful, then they're going to start needing more services. And that could well be then where we can help them.
Yeah.
But as long as they're also that they're getting, whether it be the, you know, the right legal advice or the right, you know, computer advice, IT, you know, SEO, whatever it might be, if you can connect them with someone and they can get the information they want, then, you know, fantastic.
Definitely. And I know Hegarty are always evolving and innovating as a business. Perhaps you can tell us a bit more about that and things that they're trying to do differently at the moment and embrace technology, etc.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when we're talking, you know, everyone's talking about AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's interesting within our business, we're looking at it both in terms of a threat, but more so an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because for us, there are constant stories of people doing terms and conditions of contract reviews by putting it into ChatGPT, okay, and they think, oh, well, you know, that's just saved me.
That's me,
you know, it's me, that's to save you some money. Until, of course, they get taken to court, and then things get thrown out. And we've seen examples recently where, you know, judges have, you know, thrown evidence out, and you know, in one case, it was only because the person was representing himself, because he wasn't trained, that he didn't hold him in contempt of court.
Right.
Okay. Because he produced something which was AI generated.
Yeah.
So, you know, where some of this people say, oh, you know, it's going to be a threat to industry. I don't think so. I think it's an opportunity for us. We've just got to get our message out that what you need is a combination of, yes, a bit of AI, but you also need HI as well. You need human intelligence alongside it, because you need someone to really verify and sign off. And that is what a solicitor really has always done.
Yeah.
You know, has always been there for that.
I know we both are trying to grow our businesses and scale up currently. And if we kind of took risk around the legal aspect, it could literally bring the whole thing down.
It's something you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what the bit I never understand is that people always think, oh, but if I do it this way, it's only going to cost me this amount of money.
Mm.
And that's almost like the, you know, a line drawn under it. No one goes, the consequences
it's
of
not
doing
the same
that
thing at
is
all.
Actually, you know, it's actually could end up with the end of my business.
Think of it like insurance. Like, people wouldn't insure their car unless it was a legal requirement. Because people assume they're not going to crash until they do. That's where your T's and C's policies, all of these legal elements come in.
Yeah.
When you really need them is when you actually find that it was really good.
Yeah.
It's much better to front load that rather than realize you've committed to something wrongly and now you're stuffed.
Yeah. It's like writing a will.
Yeah.
Okay. So people sometimes chase the cheapest break possible, but solicitors make more money out of contested wills where they've been badly written than they do out of writing a will.
Yeah.
Okay. So it means, because there are so many people out there that are going to cheap places and getting incorrect or inferior advice, it means that come, you know, unfortunately, the time when that you've died and you're looking to pass things on to your beneficiaries, that's where things would be contested. And that will then start to cost you a lot more money because you had a badly written will at the beginning.
Yeah.
So this is where I think we see the opportunity, is just getting that message across. Now, look, AI is there to help you perhaps facilitate what you want to try and do and what you want to try and achieve. And you can put those prompts in and you can, you know, get the framework that you want, but get it checked by someone who's professional, because it could dearly, you know, cost you.
That might be how it goes, where AI perhaps gives you the speed, but HI, this human intelligence, gives you the accuracy, the common sense check, that kind of thing.
And that's exactly what
you think it could assist you in your understanding, so you can then raise the right points and ask the right questions with your solicitor or legal advisor to guide you then.
Exactly. You don't need to walk in anymore and be completely blank.
Yeah.
You know, you can walk in with a list of questions, but they're the experts.
Yeah.
They're the ones to use.
And it is something that you definitely need to invest in terms of getting the right legal advice, because the consequence of not doing that can
the cost of cheap huge legal advice.
It's a completely wrong decision to make. You know, if you think you're saving, you're actually not. You could cost yourself
a lot of services, though. You know, if you start making your purchasing decisions around cost, not quality, you're going to end up paying twice.
Definitely.
Almost fair. I can't think of many things where that's different. Even down to food.
Yeah. And with your experience over the years, Tony, you, like you said, you've been in quite a few different industries and had success in those. If you had to pick one skill that you could share with other people that was really, really important, or you'd recommend, what skill would you choose to advise people to develop?
Empowerment.
Right.
I think the problem with empowerment is that people think about it solely as, you know, getting somebody else to do something. But I think the empowerment is actually for the individual, okay, by them actually seeing that, you know, if you've recruited people and you trust them and you know that they're the right people in the job, then you've actually got to start giving them, you know, more responsibility. And with all responsibility comes accountability as well. But actually you find then that the decisions, processes, the speed as well, that, you know, in a business, and also the empowerment, as I say, is back then to the, say, the owner of the business, because the fact is he's now got more time to do something else. He or she has got more time to do something else. You know, it's not just about, you know, giving away responsibility. You know, I've worked in organizations where micromanagement is rife, and it achieves nothing.
But delegate autonomy as well. Autonomy.
But I think it's key, you know, three key areas. It is about, you know, delegation, but it's about how you communicate as well, and then how you motivate.
Yeah.
You know, everything I try to do, I've always tried to do with a smile on my face, you know, it joke, laugh, and even when it's, you know, bad news, you know, because, you know, again, you know, you're investing in these people. Okay. So, you know, if they're working for you, then, you know, why not, you know, try and make the best environment you can
for them. So they can really fulfill themselves, but do the best job for the company as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and I just think that the business grows quicker.
Definitely.
You know, because, you know, make the people you employ invested in that business. Just if they just are just coming for a 9-to-5, then it's going to be very, very, you know, dull and unfulfilling, and you're going to get very little back for it.
Yeah.
Okay. But give them the responsibility. Okay. And I think most people want that, and they will tend to grasp it.
That's great. I think that's a really good tip for people.
About what you see across, because you work across these different sizes of business as well, up to, like, say, quite large companies down to sole trader almost.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think, the biggest mark of success between them is ability to empower the employee?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I think that if you can drive that into your business for whatever stage your business is at, okay, you actually create an environment, and that is the key bit. Once you've got that going, then everyone coming into the business wants to be there, and people see that. So if you're going in for an interview and you see nobody smiling and nobody happy, and nobody seems to be enjoying their work, you know, why do I want to come here? But if you see enthusiasm and you see, you know, again, when you start asking questions and you think, right, actually, this is a business which I really feel that I'm going to be, you know, committed to.
Yeah.
Then that's what you want, surely.
Yeah, definitely.
Who wants, you know,
absolutely
9-to-5, you know, boredom every day?
Yeah.
You know, you get through the day quicker if you enjoy it. So let's enjoy it.
Time flies when you're busy, that's for sure.
If you had to pick a highlight from your career and sort of mention one or tell us about one of them, which would you choose?
But I can talk about successes, I suppose, in terms of wins of business. But I think the highlight for me has been about building teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think ever since I was running a shop floor for Next back in the 80s, when you used to have salespeople on the shop floor, unlike retail today, you know, that was all about building a team. Then I learned that from an early age. I had a fantastic mentor at the time. And, you know, I learned about the importance, as I say, of, you know, communicating clearly, delegating responsibility and motivating them. And we, you know, we were, the highest grossing, you know, men's floor in the whole of the company. And so I think from that very moment, I've always felt it was important to wherever I was is about building your team. And your team doesn't necessarily mean the people you're responsible for.
Mm.
You know, I'm a great believer in, you know, sort of all internal relationships being a sort of customer supplier approach. So, you know, the way that you would be with that customer coming across your threshold is exactly how you would be with someone in the accounts team or the warehouse or whatever. Why, you know, I need you to do something to help me within this team.
Yeah.
Okay. So therefore I'm going to talk to you in a certain way. We're going to have a great relationship. I'm going to put everything into it so that we develop and therefore everyone's working together. And as I say, it goes back to creating that environment. I know I've gone into businesses and they've gone, oh, you know, he's the sales director or whatever, you know, it's only going to cause us pain or problems.
Yeah.
You know, so I've deliberately gone into the warehouse and gone, okay, I know that you've got to do your, you know, your audit today. What do you want me to do? Can I count the screws and bolts for you? What's the worst thing you've got to count, you know, for the audit? Tell me, I'll do it. Okay, whatever it means, because then it means that they can see that I'm as invested in them as I want them to be invested in me and my team and what we're trying to achieve for any business. So
Yeah, definitely.
Given the number of salespeople you've probably trained over the years and what it looks like, what do you think is the single biggest area of improvement people have got when it comes to sales and meeting new people?
Listening. Mm. They've got to listen. Too many people go in with preconceived ideas and just want to talk. And I never, you know, I mean, I know it's hard to believe that I wouldn't talk.
We're on a podcast. That's
I would just go in and just ask questions, because by asking for, again, you'd go into, you know, a customer and, you know, if you're asking questions like, you know, how's everything at the moment? Oh, it's great. How's your current supplier? Oh, they're great. You know, and you're not getting anywhere. Mm. So you, again, I go back to it. And repeat, you know, you've got to find the pain and you've got to be saying, you know, more detailed and finding out.
So digging a bit deeper in those responses. How much do you go around that saying, how's everything? Oh, it's great. No problems here. Everything's perfect. Sunshine and rainbows. How do you dig a bit deeper?
I think you just say, start asking about perhaps the product you're selling in particular and just start saying, is everything functioning for you? Do you have any issues with, you know, at the moment, or you know the industry they're in? So you say, you know, we supply this item into this industry. I know there have been some issues with. Are you experiencing that at the moment? So
the leading questions, easy story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you don't want to just, you know, is everything okay? Yes.
Yeah. You know, closed question.
People giving closed answers is a problem as well. Is everything great?
You know,
it's not a great conversation.
So get people talking. The other, you know, really important thing is don't just ever talk to them one person if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, I've supplied product that was going into, you know, warehouses or different parts of operations. You know, try and speak to those people.
Yeah.
Who are the guys that are using the product? You know, who are the people that are transporting it? Can you find out any information? Because this could be golden, you know, because actually you're sitting there talking to a buyer who never walks into the warehouse and has got no idea the problems.
Does he know the pain?
Yeah, that's know the pain. So try and find out what you can. You know, and this is how you can then sort of create the opportunity.
Definitely. The person working on the reception when you first arrive, they never give you so much information. And even just walking in with your eyes open and looking around, you can start to spot.
You start to see things. Well.
Yeah.
And I used to always say to the sales guys, look, you know, the 5 minutes so that you may walk with someone from reception to their office, or maybe from their office out into a warehouse or something. Yeah, you can talk about football, last night's TV, you know, the mad world of Donald Trump or something, but why not actually use it to just, in a more informal setting, find out a little bit more about them and the business. Definitely. And then you start to explore and open up the conversation, because chat about football results and TV and everything else, that can come later.
Yeah,
you know, try and use every opportunity you can. You know, it's that goes back to the whole, you know, you've got 10 seconds in the lift, you know, with, I don't know, Richard Branson or something, you want to pitch him an idea.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to start talking to him about, I had a real bad flight on Virgin one time. You know,
don't go straight into bonding on the poor. Actually, try and get to the point.
Get to your point. You know, my God, he's in the lift with me. And I've got this brilliant idea.
Mm.
Okay, so let's talk about what's, you know, what's relevant and understand your client. That is, you know, that's so important. Understanding your client and their business. Do your research.
Yeah.
And go in, be prepared.
Definitely. I think there's so much advice there that would be really useful and beneficial.
Hey, you know, speak to my agent, my fees are reasonable.
And just to finish up, really, is there anything new or different or exciting coming up that you'd like to share with people?
No. obviously, I mentioned the networking that we're doing. You know, we're trying to explore a lot more with our sort of marketing side of things. We have got an Invest for Growth workshop coming up, which hopefully will be at the end of June.
Brilliant.
So again, that is going to be a free workshop, you know, 14, 15 businesses in a room, just looking at different advice if they're investing for, you know, people or machinery, or they're looking at acquisition, joint ventures, whatever it might be. So again, we'll have somebody representing commercial finance side, a legal side, and also sort of how to manage your business through that type of expansion as well. So we're sort of going to try and give sort of, and we want to try and run more of those kinds of things again. Small scale, not in big rooms, just small scale, so that also there's peer-to-peer interaction as well. And again, there may be connections that are made in that room which will help those businesses.
Brilliant. That's something really
good. Can you find out more about this?
You can book on very soon. I know you can, John.
yeah, how do I find out?
Yeah, I'll send you an invite. We will hopefully be announcing that shortly.
Great.
Yeah. Excellent. So watch this space.
Awesome. Brilliant. Thanks a lot. That's excellent.
You're welcome. Thank you guys as well for inviting me. It's been great.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for watching today's episode. I hope you really enjoyed listening to our guest and us waffle our way through a fun conversation.
If you'd like to appear as a guest on the Business Growth Show, then do send us a message on LinkedIn and we'll come back to you and get it scheduled.
Also, please remember to give us a like, a rate and a review. Hit subscribe. Do anything that your social media platform, wherever you're listening, tells you to do to tell everyone we're great.